is Decoding the Crime Verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and you're joined with...
Glory!
Rick, and today we've got something really peculiar, and this is the type of stuff I eat up in novels when I read crime books, because, you know, who doesn't like a person who is able to solve their own murder? Even when they are dead, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Like, when I saw this case, I was like, wait, hold up, let me read that again. She solved her own murder. You don't hear about that every day.
Yeah,
so we are dealing with the murder of, I think you say it as Teresita Bassa. And in February 1977, Chicago police were left baffled by a brutal murder of a middle-aged healthcare worker. Teresita Bassa was a respiratory therapist, so that's obviously to do with your lungs, at the Edgewater Hospital. And she had been found naked, stabbed in the chest with a butcher's knife, and set alight and left under a burning mattress on her apartment floor. Can you imagine?
That's a little bit crazy.
It's a little bit crazy. So police interviewed families and friends but came up with no leads as to who might have wanted to kill her. She was quiet, well-educated, she loved music, and she had moved to the U.S. from the Philippines. Oh, it makes sense, the name now. More than a decade earlier. One of the few clues that was left was a note in her diary reading, "Get tickets for A.S." So these are just initials, so we don't know who this mysterious AS is. 6 months into the police investigation, it looked like the case might never be solved. And then came a tip, but it was a strange one. So there was a surgeon at the same hospital, and his name was Dr. Jose Chura. And he claimed that his wife, Remy, who also worked as a therapist at the hospital, had been possessed by Teresita Bassa. I'm laughing because Glory's face just changed. As I said. Oh my goodness. Sometimes I wish you could see the reaction.
Wow.
Anyway, he said while his wife was possessed, she appeared to be in a trance and was speaking in Bassa's native tongue, which is called Tagalog, which is a language she was familiar with but rarely spoke. It must be a language from the Philippines, right? I mean, yeah. So this is what the wife said as if when she was possessed. She said, "Doctor, yeah. I would like to ask for your help. The man who murdered me is still at large."
What?
Yeah. So basically, this doctor and his wife, the wife was, in quotation marks, possessed. And then while the possession was happening, she was like, "I need your help. The guy is still out there." Anyway, so he said he was really surprised and scared. And when he asked her name, she answered, "I am Teresita Bassa." But she told him that he had nothing to be scared of, and all she wanted to do was help solve her own murder. Me, I would have run away from my husband if he got possessed by some dead person. I'm just saying, I'd be like, right,
wow,
let's go to church. The doctor said while Bassa possessed his wife, she claimed that she'd been murdered by a man called Alan Showery, who repaired her TV but then stabbed her and stole her jewelry. So, now, surprisingly, detectives Joseph Stalchula and Lee Eppelin took this seriously. They were like, okay, we believe you. And this had something to do with the fact that Alan Shorey, what is the initials of Alan Shorey?
A.S.
What was the note in her diary? A.S.
Uh-oh.
So, they were like, okay, something's going on here. And the detective said, I talked to pimps, prostitutes, drug dealers, and in this area. And Dr. and Mrs. Chia are educated, intelligent people who live in a $90,000 house. A distinct change for me. I wanted information on this murder. I listened and acted on what they told me. So basically, this man was willing to take anything he could get. Maybe he should have done some real police work instead of listening to a possessed woman. I'm just like,
yeah. Okay.
Shorey was known to the doctor and to Bassa because he had worked as a respiratory technician in the same hospital. So it's not some random guy on the street. They did know this man, okay? And Shorey had been in a difficult financial situation, and Bassa had been helping him out by paying him generously to do small jobs for her. For example, like fixing her TV. So if she's helping him, why would he want her dead?
Actually,
you get what I'm saying. So the detectives went to Shari's apartment, which he shared with his pregnant partner, Yanka Kalmak. Don't know where that name's from. It sounds, I was going to say like Russia.
Yeah.
But I could be very wrong because I'm not very good at names. But anyway, they found Kalmak to have a pearl ring and a jade pendant that belonged to Bassa. So, stolen property. So this is now not looking good for Mr. Allen over there, okay? She said that Allen had given it to her as a late Christmas present. So, there is some suspicious activity.
Very late Christmas present.
Very late. Well, it was in February. Okay, that is still quite late.
No, you didn't get it.
I don't understand. No, explain to me.
It was a late Christmas present.
Late.
As in, it belonged to someone who passed on.
So stupid, you know what? Sometimes I don't understand the jokes that this man tells me, but it's okay. Shorey initially denied killing Bassa, but after being taken into the police station, he signed a confession. He said he had visited Bassa at her home, attacked her, stolen her jewelry, and then lit a fire before leaving. Later, however, Shorey then retracted his confession, saying the police had threatened to arrest the pregnant Kalmak if he didn't confess. Why did the police do this? Because they actually put themselves in worse positions. Because if they do bad things to get people to confess, then that confession is not going to hold up.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. His lawyer, William Swannow, called for a murder charge to be dismissed, saying the police had arrested him on nothing more than a bizarre story.
Sure.
Now, I do get that. It was bizarre. But the fact he had her jewelry, that's already suspicious.
Very.
Very suspicious. Okay, his lawyer said, and I quote, "Never to my knowledge has a man been arrested because of a supernatural vision. Police have never before been informed of criminals' names by a voice from the grave."
Yeah.
But the judge decided to go ahead with the trial. And a spokesperson from the prosecutor's office said, "It's not like we're going to cross-examine the voice or anything of that nature. We're really not interested in the supernatural aspect of the trial. The voice was an initial tip, but the evidence was developed independently." The trial received huge publicity with headlines like, "Did voice from grave finger murder suspect?" And it ended in a mistrial with a deadlocked jury. So the jury could not decide, was this guy innocent or was he guilty? A month later, while waiting for a new trial to begin, Shorey suddenly changed his mind and he pled guilty again. He was sentenced to 14 years for murder, robbery, and arson. Okay. So the question is, did a voice from the grave really send a man to jail? Or is there a more mundane explanation? Was Remy Chua and Shorey did work together, so Chua may have found out something incriminating about Shorey through the hospital. Plus, it's possibly that Chua had a grudge against Shorey, as it's been reported that he had made complaints about the quality of her work. So there could have been many things that happened here. I am 100% telling you now, there was no voice from beyond the grave. You can forget that. Okay, that's not what happened here. I don't believe in that. Okay, we are not living in some supernatural Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Okay, and even in Scooby-Doo, the monster's always a human. So let's leave it at that. What I do think, though, is I do think if he didn't kill her, at least he robbed her. I mean, like she said, like we said, she had been giving him jobs. So there is plenty of time that he could have got into that house and taken the jewelry. Like, it doesn't kind of mean that the jewelry was taken at the time of the murder. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, for me, this actually could have been what led the doctor and his wife to suspect. Maybe they saw the pregnant girlfriend with a piece of jewelry and they're like, wait, but that's Bass's jewelry.
Yeah.
And then being like, okay, let's... Why do you have to go with a possession? I don't know. They could have just gone to the cops and be like, we saw his girlfriend with the jewelry. Anyway, besides the fact. But for me, like, it's possible. He could have killed her. The reason I say that, could have been fixing her TV. He couldn't help himself. He wanted to take something more. She caught him. And then out of that, like, desperation, he killed her. Like, you know, in a fight or flight response.
Yeah.
Kills her, wants to hide the evidence, so he burns her body. So that is 100% a possibility. Mm. However, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they knew something. Like I said, I think maybe they would have seen she had the jewelry, put pieces together, like, painted the picture. I just don't understand why they went with this whole possession route. That's like really weird.
Yeah,
it's like really weird. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like the most odd thing. Like, if you want to report a crime or be like, we have some suspicion, you might want to check out Mr. Allen. I don't know what they were thinking that made them think, let's say that she's possessed. Like, what? I mean, because if you think about it, like, what police is actually... I mean, the fact that police actually took them seriously is a little bit of a miracle.
Yeah.
Because what police, especially nowadays, what police are going to take you seriously? I wouldn't. I'd look at you and think, you're cuckoo bananas. But it's fine.
Mm.
Anyway, so that is the woman who solved her own murder, even though that's not technically true.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I don't know. It's a really weird one. And again, it's gone unsolved because the guy did confess to it. But is he truly to blame? Like, for me, what was also really weird is you confess, you recant, and then you confess again. So, are you guilty or not guilty?
He's half guilty.
How's he half guilty?
I don't know. Maybe, like...
maybe he's guilty for, like, the theft.
Yeah, but not for the killing.
Because, I mean, he said the first time he was guilty, but it was because they had basically blackmailed him. So then, if they blackmailed you to say that you were guilty and you're not guilty, why would you later on say you are guilty? You get what I'm saying? It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's a really, 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 really strange case of Teresa. You know what? This is a really... really weird case. Do you have any last thoughts?
Fine. No last words.
Otherwise, we hope you enjoyed the show. We will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.